Thank you all for coming today. We have a few announcements. Congratulations to Reagan Hires, Logan Shan, and Riley Bloomer. They're graduating high school and eighth grade classes. We want to congratulate them on that. Some prayer list add-ons is Gene Pauley, Clovis Hires, and Dale Plum and his family. And then I was told at 3 o'clock today, if you go to the Facebook of the high school, they're going to read all the names of the graduates this year off on that Facebook. And then they're saying on the 30th, don't know what time that's going to happen, but on the 30th at the band shell at the old park, they're going to have a walkthrough so that the graduates can wear their gowns and the caps and can walk through and their families can be out there socially distanced and see them go back and forth and congratulate them. The other thing is on a sad note, if you didn't know it, Joe Schnell passed away this morning early. So make sure you keep the Schnell family in your prayers. Hate to see him go. He was a good guy. And he, you know, you can't ask for somebody more faithful. He was always here every chance he got. And I appreciate that in him. And he was coming on Sunday nights and he was taking a real interest in it. And I know that he had made a profession of faith. Keep his family in your prayers at this time. Have I missed anything? Do I need to give another announcement that I don't know of? Oh, services next Sunday will be inside. And there will only be one service. 10:30 church service will be in there. So get ready to sing and have a regular church service. But as they say, try to social distance. So continue with that. Glad to see everybody out. The text this morning is going to be Psalm 57. Psalm 57, I'll read verse 3 and 4, and then drop down to 9 and 13. It's the same thing he's been pushing the last 3 weeks. When I say God, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. The next verse says, what can mere man do to me? Verse 9, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? At times like this, what we're going through, and not just the COVID scare that people are talking about all the time, but fear itself. I've talked about since I've been here that if the Bible mentions something once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's really important. And if he says it 3 times, he's emphasizing, trying to get across the idea, would you listen to me? I'm trying to tell you something, and it's important. The subject of fear is discussed 80 times in the Scripture. 80 times he brings up, actually it's over 80 times he brings up again and again the subject of fear. And it's important because fear controls. Whatever you really fear will become your master. Whatever you really have a fear of will become your master. And fear can get out of hand. I've known people that was afraid to walk out of their house. I know somebody was afraid to shake her dust mop out the back door after sunset. I know people are afraid of getting into their cars. I know a person who is afraid of crossing a bridge, and that one surprised me. I've known this person all my life, and we were traveling on a rather long trip, and we got to this rather long bridge. And the person said, I can't do this. And I said, what? And they were already down on the floor of the car in a fetal position with their head on the seat going, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And we drove across the bridge and I said, it's all right. And they go, oh, I just can't stand to go over a bridge unless it's an absolute emergency. Then I can do it. But I've got to do it really fast. leaving the house. There are people who are afraid of leaving their homes. There are people who are afraid of white cats. I know everybody, oh, it's black cat. But there are people who are afraid of white cats. There are people, you just pick any subject whatsoever. I knew a lady who was afraid of any person who had white hair. And I didn't know it. I had brown hair. And she always talked to me. Hadn't seen her for a couple of years. She walked into the store, and my hair had gone white. I never saw her again. She was terrified of people, men, who had white hair. So we've got to learn that whatever we fear becomes our master. And God Himself, continually, all through the Scriptures, He says, do not fear, do not fear, do not be afraid. I am your God, do not be afraid. There is nothing that we are to be afraid of except God Himself. We are to fear the Lord. We are to have a fear of the Lord. He is the one who's supposed to be our master. And a lot of us have more fear of white cats than they actually fear God. Now here's the groundwork of overcoming fear. If you have an irrational fear or even an oversized rational fear, here is the groundwork that it starts off with. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. We need to go back to that. When I am afraid, I will recognize you. I will put my trust in you, God. We say these things, yet God is saying, don't just skip over this stuff. Don't just jump over it. Listen to what's really being said. So I have a tendency to just to rip right through Scripture because, yeah, I know all this. But He's actually saying, when you read this, when we understand this, He is the person and the only person that we can truly trust, and we need to ponder that. David, who wrote this, said, I will trust God. I will put my trust in Him. And that's where it starts to overcome any fear you have. And it can be a fear of needles. It can just pick a fear or something that causes you anxiety even. I was listening to the radio, and this lady said, all my life, since I was a kid, I have had anxieties. I have been on medication for anxieties for years because I was always thinking there was something that I would not be able to take control of, and my life would spiral out of control. And she said, you know what the odd thing is? We've got COVID virus. It's everywhere. They're telling us to shelter at home. They're giving us all sorts of information. And yet, my anxieties have went away. And they said, why? And she said, finally, I know what it is that's scaring me. And it was diseases. And they have told me what I need to do. Wear a mask. Social distance. Don't go into great big groups. Hang out. By yourself as much as possible. Watch movies, Netflix, eat chocolate bonbons. She could live with that kind of stuff because she felt she finally had control of a situation that was terrifying. And she said, I'm over it now. And she's off her medications for anxieties. I'm not telling you to throw away your anxiety medicine. A lot of people are on it and a lot of people have anxiety. But this is the beginning of getting over our anxiousness or a fear. Anxiousness is just a low-grade fear, and this is where it starts. Recognize who you trust. It's God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one that He said, you trust me, and I will take care of you. I will be with you, and I will walk with you. I will hold your hand, and we will get through this life together. Oh, but what if I'm not perfect? What if you're not perfect? Jesus died for us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I am your God. I am the one who sent the Holy Spirit to be with you as a comforter. He could only be in one place at a time when He was here on the earth in His physical body. But when He went to heaven, He and the Father sent the Holy Spirit down, and the Spirit can be everywhere because He's completely God, and He has no encumbrances upon Himself. The second thing that you'll notice when we read this psalm is, when I am afraid, I will. He chooses. It's an act of will. I will put my trust in you. Will yourself. When you realize you're being anxious, say, I choose to trust God. I will do that. And you keep banging away at that. And then he says, in God, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. Whose word I praise. There are all sorts of promises here in the Scripture that we can claim. That we can say, God, you made this promise to me. Now you can say, Doyle, what are all these promises? This is going to sound cold-hearted. Look them up. Look them up. You can go online and find list of promises on any subject that you want. You can read your scriptures and study it. Do it the old-fashioned way, like I had to do. Buy a Strong's Concordance and go down there and say, fear. Okay, that's the thing. And start reading the scriptures for yourself. It's all of us are to study to show ourselves approved. Yeah, I can print you off. Promise. You can even buy little books called Pocket Promise Book. You can buy these and carry them with you, and they're on all sorts of subjects. And you can just flip them open and find the thing that's bothering you and claim promises. Buy yourself some of those. Invest in that. But one of the things we are told to do, because we trust in the Word, we trust in God, and I praise His Word because it's truth. John 10:10 is the reference. Jesus said, I came that they will have life and have it more abundantly. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And people think, oh, well, that's talking about the extension of life off in the future. Once again, words are very important, especially in Greek. The word abundant, or to have an abundant life, means a fullness of joy, a strength of mind. It means more than. He said, I come that they might have life, and they would have a life that's more than. It's exceeding their expectations. It's going past what they thought was the limit. It's us saying, well, God will bless me up to this point. And then God says, I'll bless you further. And he goes beyond the limit. It is an uncommon blessing that we receive from God. And Jesus said, that's what I came to this life for. That's what I came into this world, is so that my followers would have an abundant life. Don't get this wrong. He still said, you're going to have problems, but even in your problems, you trust my word and you will have an abundant life. So there we are. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and that's why we read the scripture about abundant life. We seek to understand what abundant life means. It means more than. If you have a good life going now, if you trust in God, and you say, I trust you, and I praise your word, and I choose to do that. I choose to do that. It doesn't matter how I feel. I choose to do it. Then he says, I'm going to give you more than what you expected. I'm going to give you all the things that I have promised, and it will increase. You'll notice it says, I praise his word. He looks to the word. One of the things that my advice is, and it's something that's worked tremendously in my life, turn off the news. Turn off the news. Quit watching Fox all the time. Quit watching CBS, ABC, NBC, PBS, NPR. Just quit watching all the news channels all the time. You know, 24/7, we've got news, we've got headlines. You can trust us. We'll tell you the truth. We're fair. We're balanced. Blah, 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 blah. Turn it off. You will know the most important things because people will talk about it. But most of the news, you don't need that much. Turn it off. Actually, I have my TV disconnected. I can't even turn it on and catch a news broadcast. And my life has become a lot more peaceful. I'm not saying you can't watch anything. You can't watch any news whatsoever. But you need to bring this balance. I will praise His Word. Well, to be able to praise His Word, you must know His Word. You must have an idea of what His Word is. It doesn't ever say, I will trust in God and watch the news for the truth. Most people don't know it. I actually have a degree in journalism. Yep, I've got a bachelor's in journalism. Thank God I don't have to do that. But one of the classes we had to take was teaching on ads, like Madison Avenue, the ad men you hear from Madison Avenue. They would, if they couldn't find something, they would create a situation, the ad people, to make you feel inferior, incomplete, or that you lack. And then they will pick an item out and sell you the item to create a satisfaction, or what they claim. If you have this, you will be satisfied. Sometimes they'll even come up with an item, and then they'll say, what I need to do is create a problem so that I can sell the item. And then they create this problem. Oh, look at this. You got stinky armpits. And this is better than any other deodorant. And therefore they sell the deodorant. They make all sorts of incredible promises. And as we say in the grocery business, everything will sell once. The candy people will come in and say, look at these oddball candies we've got. We'll take one of everything. Everything will sell once. Kids will buy candy, no matter how bizarre, at least the first time. After they taste it, they'll say, I don't ever want that again. But you can buy any kind of candy and sell it at least once. That is the job of the newspaper people, of the news broadcasters even. Design a news, and you'll hear them talk about, we have captured a viewership. Notice the word capture. You are hunted and you are trapped. And every week they will announce who was the person or what news coverage had the highest ratings for that week. And they'll list them. And the names of the people, the anchors of the news show, they'll list them on who was the top anchor. And that, to them, is the most important news whatsoever, because their pay is based on that. They want people to watch that news because they can sell ads. The more people that watch the news, the more they can charge per 30 seconds or per 1 minute of time. Their whole approach is, we've got to create a situation that hooks their attention, that captures them, and they will hang on hour after hour, and if they have to go away, they'll come back and turn it back on because they want to know what's going on. And we will just dole this out a little at a time, and we'll keep them coming back, because the more people we have, the more hits we have, the more money we can charge. By the way, that was a frog back here saying amen, if you heard that. So, what we need to do is bring a balance into the news and start reading good news, and that is the Bible. Start reading and spending time in the Scriptures. Have more Jesus time where you're there talking to Him. Have more God time where you're praying. Have some time where you're just thankful. Instead of worrying about things, start saying, here are things that I should be thankful for. Did you know that this Sunday morning is a great morning for a little rain outside? Why? Because we're having a rain outside. Why worry about it? Say, yay, we're having rain. Thank you, Jesus. You must know something I don't know. But we've got rain, and I'm going to be happy for it. Amen. That little frog's happy back there. He's damp. He needs the dampness. So he's up. Also, you can listen to or watch some really good preaching on TV or radio. There's like K-Love, which is modern Christian music. You can go on Sirius and get some Bill Gaither. They have some that are just hymns over repeated all the time. You find some good sermons from some good ministers and listen to them. If you listen to a minister and you think, I don't think I like that minister, I think he's wrong here, here, and here, make a list and then find out why you think he's wrong. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that isn't to be ashamed. And another one says, be ready to give an apology for what you believe. And most people think, because of our English, that means to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I believe that. I don't want to offend you. That's not what it means. It means, this is the reason why I believe that. Here, here, here. Here's Scripture, here's history, and here's science. And these are the reasons I believe what I believe. Give an apology. Give a defense is actually what the word means, of what you believe. So if you hear somebody and you don't believe it, or you can't agree with them, start studying to find out the truth. Ask around. There are people out here who actually know Scripture and will help you study it out. And it just stymies me. Some people will come in at the grocery store and say, I've got a question. And I'll say, that is a great question. Give me a day or two to go home and study up on it, and then I'll try to explain it as best I can or as I understand it. And some of them say, I don't agree with you. And I'm going, fine. I don't yell, get out of the store. I say, fine. Go buy a candy bar. Don't waste the opportunity to sell somebody something. No, I'm just kidding. We need to study. We need to approach it. And when we don't agree, we don't need to get angry. We need to be able to start studying it. Remember this. If you have a fear and it's tormenting you, it is not of God. Saul had a fear. King Saul, not the apostle, King Saul had a fear. And it says in the Scripture it was a spirit that was there to torment him. So if you have something that just really, as they say, eats your lunch, it just bothers you, then if it's a torment, it is not of God. Start studying. Start praying. Start choosing to trust God. Throw your anxieties upon Him, is the way one Scripture reads. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind. He has given us not a spirit of fear where we quail at anything, but He gives us a spirit of power and love and sound mind. That's why we should be able to walk through this world, including difficult times, and say, my God is with me. He will bring me through. He will teach me, and He will be with me at all times. There is a famous line, and it says, fear is the mind killer. It's not in the Bible, but it is a truth. One of the understandings of fear and the explanation of that word in the Scripture comes across as fear blocks logical thinking. Fear will block your logical thinking. I was almost in a car wreck. We was tooling along down the road back in the day when I had hair and I was young, and it was dark brown and really nice and long. Fluffy even. I was in the passenger seat. The kid was driving. He was out of service, military. And all at once, it's like, and I'm going, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I'm trying to be, what's wrong? Cool. And he goes, a spider. And I'm like, a spider? You're going to kill us over a spider? And I want you to know, it was one of those little, I wouldn't have even seen that little bitty spider, but it was dropping down off of his sun visor, and he was yelling, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. And I'm like, grabbed it, threw it out the window. Actually, I probably just grabbed it, squashed it, and had it on my hand for quite some time. And he relaxed. He said, I am terrified of spiders. I never knew that. Irrational fear. He has given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. He got a hold of the car and did not crash us. At least He had the sound mind part. He was a Christian, and He kept us from having a car crash. But the fear blocks us from logical thinking. And whenever we have fears and illogical thinking, we need to say, I trust God. And if you know you've got a fear and an illogical thought because of that fear, start working on it now, saying, I'm prepping for the next time that I encounter a little bitty spider. God, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You to be with me and to cause me to go, okay, God's with me. I can deal with this little bitty spider or this white-headed person or white cats. Or whatever it is that you happen to be afraid of. There are things to be logically afraid of. If your house is on fire, get out. That's the most important thing. Get out. Make sure your family's out. Just get out of the house. Everything's replaceable except for your loved ones. Get out. That's okay to be afraid of that. And it's logical to get out of your house. Romans 8:15 says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again, the bondage to fear. But you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Dad, Father, Father God. We are not to be in bondage to fear. He is the only person that we are to have such reverential respect for, that we will listen to what He says and let Him dominate our life. And He says us on all other subjects, do not walk in fear. Trust Me. And that is the person we are to really fear. And truthfully, there is a scripture that talks about, do not fear man. What can they do? The worst they can do is kill your body. But fear Him who can not only kill your body, but then place you in hell. And that word and that interpretation, that context, actually means you want somebody to be terrified of, you be terrified of God. You be terrified of the One who will throw you into hell if you don't do what He says. And what does He say to us and any other person? Trust in My Son. Listen to Him. This is My Son in whom I listen to My Son, My beloved Son. Listen to Him is what I'm trying to say. He said that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to My beloved Son. We are to listen to what Jesus says. When we do that, we will walk in the favor and in the grace of God. He is the one that we are to be terrified of, that we will miss the boat. But once we satisfy that one command, trust in My Son and His sacrifice, from then on, it is, I favor you because you have trusted in My Son. Shall we pray? Father, God, Dad, You know that we're living in a crazy world right now. You know what's going on, not just with this COVID thing, but with all the other fears in our life and what the world is trying to scare us with. You know all that stuff, and You know everything that bothers us on a personal level. And when we get bothered with that, even if it's late at night, please remind us to choose to come to You and help us to calm down. Cause us and our emotions and thoughts to become calm because we choose to think about You and Your promise. Father, we ask that You would flood us with Your peace and wisdom and the awareness that You are the only being, the only thing that we are to have true fear of, true respect for. Please reduce the false feelings that plague us. And Jesus, I ask that You, as our shepherd, would lead us beside still waters and pasture us in peaceful grazing areas. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.